amen. Our pastor used to say it like this: birds were designed to fly, fish were designed to swim, the sons of God were designed to worship. I thank God for his presence in this place right now. We were designed to worship. We were designed to worship. Take a fish out of water, it's going to have some problems. Clip a bird's wings, it's going to have a little problems. Put a son of God in a place where his worship is hindered, he's going to have some problems. But in this place, right now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Oh, I don't know about you, but he liberated me. I got set free. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I've been washed in his blood. I said, I've been washed in his blood. I've been washed in his blood. I've been washed in his blood. I'm on my way to heaven, and I want to take as many people as I can with me. He's worthy. He's worthy. The Lamb of God is worthy. Amen. 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 God is so good. So good to see you here. If you're here today and you are a visitor, we want to welcome you here. Amen. Would you give our visitors a hand? Would you do that? We serve a God who is absolutely awesome. There is no God like my God. Work together. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Fist pump somebody and say, good to see you, and you can sit down. About said fist punch. I don't know where that came from. Just fist punch somebody and set them down. Amen. No, really, you can sit down. Even if you didn't punch somebody. Does anybody know any church folk? When you get around church folk, they're different than just church people. Church folk, they got verses that they quote that may or may not be in the Bible. Some of them are made up. Church folk say things like, cleanliness is next to godliness and things like that. But if you've been around many church folk, you've heard this verse before. Back me up, Jacob, to verse 28. You've heard this verse before. You've heard it on many occasions if you're around people that have been in church. If you've been around church any time at all, most of the time it's when someone is dealing with something in their life that doesn't make sense. That's when you hear this verse. People will quote this verse hoping to encourage somebody to hold on because better outcome is coming. And we say, all things work together. And usually it's for your good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called. So just hang in there, because even the good and the bad is important. And Brother Eddie preaches an awesome message about this, and he talks about all the ingredients in a cake. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but he talks about baking soda. Anybody here ever ate baking soda? Probably not. Some of you are like, yeah, I ate it. But there's sugar and eggs and all that stuff that goes into it. And there's some sweet ingredients and some bitter ingredients. But when you put them all together, it makes a cake. Now, how many people have ate cake? Yeah, so all things separately don't seem so good, but they all work together to come together for something good. And Brother Eddie, when you preached that message, I pictured baking soda. I don't know about y'all, but I got a pretty vivid imagination. I picture eggs laying on the table, and I picture all that. And then all of a sudden, I picture the cake. I picture all the ingredients. Did anybody else just do that just now? You know what I left out when he preached that? The baker. I left the baker out. I never put a hand on the egg and cracked the egg in my mind. I never mixed up any of the stuff. It was laying on the table, the ingredients, and then came the cake. And I think that's what we do with this verse sometimes. See, if we read this verse really slow, or if we read it at regular speed, and we know that all things work together, we think the all things is the subject of the verse. We think that all things is the subject and the all things are doing the work. I assure you, all things are not the subject of this verse. And I assure you this, all things is not what's doing the work. There is a God who is manipulating and moving all things for good. All things is not the subject. The subject is there is a God that is moving things around to bring about something good. You don't just have all things working and they're trying to make everything work out, but there's a God behind the scene. Man, I feel preachy. There's a God that loves you so much that he's able to do things that you don't even see him do. There's people in this room that God has been 1 foot of asphalt that you didn't go over the mountain. There's people in this room that God has just been 1 word of encouragement so that you didn't give up. There's people in this room that would be in a lot of other places, but God, it's God that is doing this work. All things, these things don't do anything without God. So I'm sorry, Lord, I forgot the baker. The one that's actually moving it around and making sure that it works out to good. Now, here's what we do. We take this verse and we miss some important points because we want to encourage people. Listen, let's be honest. Sometimes we want to encourage people not because we want them to be encouraged, but because we don't want to have to deal with discouraged people. Come on, say amen. Man, I really need to help them to get on fire because I don't want to deal with them like this. You ever been in a debate, an argument with your spouse, and you just wanted the argument to end, not because you wanted to reconcile, but because you just didn't want to argue? Women are going, yeah. Men are like, oh, that never happened in my life. Y'all are so scared. We are so scared. There are people when they get discouraged that we go to this voice, this verse. And let me tell you something about this verse. This verse has helped a lot of people. But if we leave it at that, Dave, the verse is incomplete. If we stop right there and we use this for a pick-me-up verse, it's an incomplete rendering of the scripture. If all we use this for is say things will get better, situations will change, it'll get a little bit better, just hang in there. Listen, there's a lot of hang in there verses. And if you're here today and you've been going through something, I'm going to give you a couple of hang in there verses. God's anger won't last forever. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. There's your hang in there verse. Just hang in there till morning because something is going to change when the light comes on. You got to hang in there sometimes. Sometimes you just got to say, I'm not going to let go, God, until you bless me. There's some verses in there that'll let you know if the devil was going to kill me, he should have killed me in the night because joy is coming in the morning. If the devil was going to depress me, he should have depressed me in the night because joy is coming in the morning. When the morning comes, things begin to change. Hang in there. Hang in there. The light's coming. Here's another one. They that wait. There's your hang in there verse. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord because they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hang in there. When it looks bad, just wait on God, because I assure you this, God is moving. God wants to do something to you and through you. Can I preach for a minute? Watch the progression. They're waiting on God. Then they mount up with wings and they begin to fly. And they go from flying to running to walking. That seems like they are regressing. Because I don't know about you, I think it'd be pretty cool to fly. Not in an airplane, I'm saying me fly. That'd be cool. It'd save a lot of time. And if I could run and not get weary, that would be pretty awesome. I cannot. And if I could walk and not faint, I've got that down so far. I don't think I've ever fainted in my life. The key is there is a walk in God. And everybody's trying to get you to soar all the time. Let me tell you this right now. As long as you're in this life, you're not always going to be soaring. And you're not always going to be running. But I do know this, you can walk. You can walk with Him. You can move forward with Him. There is a place in God where nothing in this world can stop you. It's in your walk. There's your hang in there scripture. If you need one more, Isaiah 40 or Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hang in there, it's coming. But when we look at this verse, and this verse is so powerful because it's helped people, it's carried them through hospital waiting rooms, it's carried them beside the phone. When they're waiting on a phone call and they're waiting and they're nervous to see what's going to happen. It's carried parents through that's been waiting on wayward children. It's carried that weight, and that weight is real. And let me tell you something. There's something about a Bible verse that when your life is a wreck, it can hold you.
Yes, sir.
I didn't like their response that way, so y'all better do better. Woo! They shall walk and not faint. There is a God. And He has you in such close proximity. He wants you so close that the things that He is doing is not just working on a desired outcome in your life. Let me clarify this. How many people in here want an easy life? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. How many people want a really difficult life? Raise your hand. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand at either. I guess you'll just take whatever comes your way and you don't care. Let me tell you something about a life of ease. A life of ease is a life of decay. A life of ease is a life of decay. But you know what we want? We want situations to work out. We want everything to work out in our favor. We want the situation to change, don't we? When we pray and we're in a circumstance, we want God to fix the circumstance. And we use this verse that all things are working toward our good, toward the good. And we believe that God, it's all about the circumstance. It's all about the trial. It's all about the struggle. I looked this up and somebody had posted this verse and they said, tell somebody that needs this verse today. And what they're getting at is somebody's in a situation and they need encouragement. Go back to verse 28. I want you to see this. I want you to read this again because we missed something. I'm going to teach you today and I'm going to let you go. We know that all things work together. All things work together for good. Let me tell you something about God. Everything God makes is good. Everything God creates is good. How do you know that, preacher? Let's go to the book of Genesis. And we're going to see, in the beginning, when God began to create, He said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Bible says, and God saw the light, and it was good. Light is good. Everybody say light is good. But yet it can cause thermal burns. Everything that light does is not good in our eyes, but light is good. And we're always concerned about the outcome. And we're always concerned about what it produces. God, I need you to produce a good outcome in my life. The goodness is not always the outcome. The goodness is in the creation. Oh. Are y'all with me right now? Are you following me? He created the earth and the seas. The earth is good. The seas are good. But the earth quakes. And the seas produce tsunamis. But we look at what it produces, and it's not about what it produces. It's about, he looked at it and said, this is good. Are you following me? This is important. Let me take you a step farther. Because sometimes we think the outcome and the situation and the thing that's coming is the most important part, and it's not the most important part. And I'll show you why. He said, go down. Give me Jeremiah. Watch this. This is important. For I know. No. Is that it? Give me the potter. Where's that at? Did I give you those? I can preach it. I know it. He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And he goes down to the potter's house, and the potter begins to wrought a work on the wheels. The potter is, now let me tell you who this potter represents. He's the potter, and we are the, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It had a flaw in his hand. Now what we do is look at the outcome. When we look at the outcome, we say, that thing's no good. It's not good. We were looking for a better outcome. Watch what he does. The clay is good. The outcome was bad. Are you following me? Watch what he does. And he made it. What is it? The clay. He made the clay again another vessel. He didn't get rid of the clay because the outcome was not desirable. He kept the clay because the clay was still good clay. I want to preach to you that the enemy is giving you condemnation when God has called you good and he wants to do something through you. You are the good. All things are working out for good. What's the good? You're the good. You are, look at the person and say, man, you're good. I said, I'm serious, you're good. Y'all are so not convincing today. Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are. I'm going to get somewhere in a minute. We might have church. You might even shout after this. If you don't know how to shout, I'll show you how you go. Or you jump. Or however you dance. However you want to do it. We are his workmanship. Let's watch this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, I always thought that this meant that I was always going to produce good works. Rewind it. We are his workmanship. Let me tell you what God does. When he puts his hand on something, he is able to perform exactly what he wants to perform. The calling and election of God are without repentance. God doesn't begin to do a work in you and say, oh, I never thought that he would be to this point and I couldn't do nothing with him. He said, those that the Father had put in my hand, he said, I've not lost any of them. I'm talking about a God that does good work, and he doesn't give up on you just because the outcome doesn't become what we wish it to be. He still is doing the work in you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, I tell you, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Not me. I ain't no sinner. She said, don't fall. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I'm a saint. No, I'm a saint. You know why I'm a saint? Because he made me a saint. You run around saying, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, he washed me. I'm a new creature. Those old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now that I've been made new, I'm a good work. And he's able to perform the work that he began in me until the day of redemption. I want to let you know that when God gets his hand on you and calls you good, you good. Oh, the devil hates this kind of preaching. You know why? Because if we really get this in our spirit, we'll become unstoppable. Because you know what stops us? Condemnation. Things don't go the way we think they ought to go. We don't behave the way we think we should be behaving. You know what we do? We sit down and we cry. And the whole time the potter's saying, I want to do a work. It didn't say he paused. It didn't say he took the clay and threw it on the shelf and came back 3 months later. It said he did another work. This is a continual working. This work, that all these things are working together, that is continual. See, we think that any questions? We're just sitting there waiting for the situation to change so that we can worship. God, if you do this, I'll praise you. Lord, I promise if you work this out for me, I'll be the first one to testify. And then it's testimony night and God works something out for you and you sit there. You're scared to death. We're not going to eat you. Nobody will bite you. Why do we do that? Because we wait for the outcome. But Darren, it's not just the outcome. It's what God is doing in us right now. How do I know this? Verse 29. Take me back to verse 29. This word for is a continuation of the thought. He's not starting a new thought. He is continuing that thought. All things work together for the good. That means I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a new house. No. It means for we are his. Go back. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what's going on here. What's good is not that your situation changes. What's really good is even if your situation don't change, you are still being conformed to the image of the Son. This is about transformation. This is about not about me getting what I want. This is about God getting out of me what he wants because this is his purpose. Am I making sense? Because this is really important. If we get this down and we're not, I prayed and I asked God to do it and he never did it. People get bitter over that stuff. When somebody loses somebody they love, I very seldom, I don't know if I've ever heard this in all my years. I am so mad at the devil. I'm so mad about sin bringing death into this world and taking the person I love. You know what they say? I don't know why God would do this. Man, that's a trick of the enemy. People get mad at God when the devil brought sin into the world and death came by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all men have sin. Look at the person beside you and say, you're not getting out of here alive. I'm not talking about this church service. I'm talking about this world. He wants to do something through you. He wants to do a work in you. That work is being conformed to the image of his son. No matter how the circumstances play out, the goodness is the work of God. God the Creator is working a work in you. And let me tell you something about God. You know the Bible says to raise up a child in the way he should go? What was you getting ready to say? Somebody's getting ready to say. Raise children up in the way they should go. It don't say that. It says in the way he should go. It is very personalized. How personal? Some of your parents said, anybody here raised more than one kid? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you raised more than one kid. Or raising more than one kid. Keep them up, keep them up. Do your parents only have one kid? I don't know. You had it easy. Because you knew if it got broke, who broke it. When you got more than one kid, it's games. You got to play games to figure stuff out. It's challenging. And then when you got three kids, there's only two parents and three kids, you're outnumbered. The whole game gets different. It becomes challenging. Can I get an amen? It's a little bit different. You don't raise two children the same. You got twins? They the same? Which one do you like better? No. It's different. It's individualized. Raise each child up in the way they should go. It is amazing that two kids can come out of the same people and be so different. And then you throw gender in there. You raise a boy and a girl, that's wonky, man. You think you got it down because you raised your daughter and then he comes along? Things change. It's individualized. Listen to me. God loves you so much that each one of his children are individualized. And the truth is, some of y'all are hard-headed. There are some really nice people in this room, and there's some people that aren't so nice. When I said it, which one did you put yourself in? You put yourself in a class. Which one did you put? There's some people in here good grouchy sometimes. I don't mean God ain't doing a work in them. Some people do by nature what you struggle to do with the Spirit's help. That's deeper than you think. Some people are just nice. And you got to fight to be nice. Lord, help me today. Help me today. Lord, help me. Help you be nice. I mean, they're just nice by nature. Some people are overly nice. Some people are too nice. Some people are so nice they get on your nerves. You're like, fly away, butterfly. And you're struggling to do some things to be nice with the Spirit's help. That doesn't mean that God's not doing a work in you. This is the goodness of God, that God is bringing about something good in you. He's still working on me. Okay, now I said all that to say this. Are y'all ready? Here's my sermon. I was reading this and I never had seen this before. To those that are called according to his purpose. Purpose. Did you get that definition, Shane? Did you see that or no? Okay. Purpose. I looked up this word purpose. And you know what I thought my purpose was? Preach. I've been called to preach. That's my purpose. I've been preaching for a long time. Long time. Long, long time. I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to read the Bible. Let the Spirit lead me. Put it in a way that we all understand and we walk out of here better people. Nah, we walk out of here better Christians. Nah, we walk out of here better disciples. My goal is to feed you, man. That's not my purpose. I know what Tracy's purpose is. It's to sing. That's her purpose. There's no way you get pipes like that if God didn't want you to. I preached all over the place and everybody, man, it's amazing that such a great sound can come out of such a little person. How many times I've heard that? That's a purpose. That's not her purpose. My purpose ain't to preach. We've been called according to his purpose. Prothesis is the Greek word. This is so good. Just looking up a word will make you shout all week. This word means to be given to, and the word comes from the Hebrew word that is to lay the showbread in the temple in the presence of God. And if you look it up in the Greek, it actually says like showbread. Now, I don't know if you know anything about showbread, but showbread don't preach. Showbread don't sing. Let me tell you what showbread does. Showbread lays in the presence of God. All week long. Let me tell you what my purpose is. The purpose and the good work is to conform you to the image of the Son. Why does he want? Because he wants us in his presence. See, sin was the work. Sin was the work that separated us from the presence. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That separation is no longer separating me, because he did a good work so that I can get in his presence. Like the bread, to get in his presence. It's not just called showbread, Darren. It's called the bread of presence. It's the bread of presence. And if we're not getting in the presence of God, we are not doing what God has designed us to do. And there's a work to get us into his presence. That's amazing. Do you know other countries send missionaries to America? Did y'all know that? I met one time. Yeah, it was amazing. He said, I've been sent here. He was somewhere in Europe. He said, I've been sent to Welch, West Virginia, as a missionary. I won't even tell you what he specialized in. Ask me after class. He had a very special ministry that he did. They send people in here from out there. These missionaries that come into America said, you can get Americans to do a lot of things, Brother Eddie. You can get them to work. How many people showed up yesterday to work? A lot? Yeah, man, we'll work. We'll work for the kingdom. It's amazing. We got a group of guys in this church that if I called them and said, hey, man, I really, really need your help with the church, they'll show up no matter what. Said, you can get Americans to work for the kingdom. You can get them to preach for the kingdom. You can get them to do a lot of things. And these missionaries say the one thing that you cannot get Americans to do is pray. You can't get them to pray. They will not stay in the presence of God very long. The reason is, come on, let's be honest, we're busy. Lord, I'm on my way, help me real fast. Gotta go. Some of y'all right now is like, man, he's getting lengthy. I wish he'd hurry up. I got some things to do. Have you ever sat down and said, I'm going to pray for 3 hours? Anybody ever done that? Raise your hand. Lord, we need saved. You ever sat down and said you was going to pray for an hour? Oh, three's too much. But 1 hour. 1 hour. Give me 1 hour. Give me 30 minutes, 25, 15, 10, 5, 5, 5. I mean, you sat down. And I'm going to pray for a while. And you know what I start doing? What do? You start thinking, or you start repeating. Anybody ever been on repeat? It's like, I just said that, Lord. I just said that. I just said that. I just said that. I just said that too. Walked into church one night. I'm closing. Come on here. Walked into a church one night. We needed a backup bass player at our church. There was a video at the church that I needed to go watch so that I could learn how to play. I will never forget this as long as I live. We walked in the church. It's nighttime. Nick said, man, ain't it crazy how sometimes you can just feel the presence of God? I didn't feel nothing. I said, yeah, that's awesome. He said, let's pray. Y'all looking at me? Y'all looking at me like, no. You're not looking at me like that. I didn't want to pray. You ever been there? He started walking around church praying. I'm up there, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you for your love. Thank you. I start my prayer out about every time the same way. Thank you, Lord, for every stripe, Lord. Thank you for every bruise. Thank you for Calvary, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he's over, man. He's going at it. He come and laid hands on me, and he said, God, let him feel your presence like I feel your presence. We prayed for 3.5 hours. And it seemed like a matter of moments. We got done. What time is it? It was really late. Why? Because when you get in his presence, listen really close, the situation doesn't matter. The outcome doesn't matter. The time doesn't matter. What matters is when we're in his presence, God's got you right where he wants you. He wanted to restore that communication. So the next time you read this verse and somebody says, all things work together for your good, remember your good is his purpose, to be conformed to his son, to get in his presence. If you don't get the phone call, he's still good. If it don't work out the way you want it, he's still good. If you don't get the job, he's still good. He's the potter. I'm the clay. Where do you go to get in his presence? You know, Reverse, I love riding to work by myself. I love it. I love it. Not that I don't like being... This is so funny, Randy. I had to be there a full shift not too long ago, and he called me. He said, what's going on in the morning? I said, going to work, buddy. We go in at different times. He goes in earlier than I do. Thank you, Jesus. But that day I had to be there the full shift. He said, what's going on in the morning? I said, hey, I'm picking up Chico. We're going to go to work. Oh, yeah, what time you coming through? I said, I don't know, man. I'll be there, I don't know, 5 o'clock. Oh, well, I'll see you later. He hung up. He said, okay, see you. We got to work. I said, why didn't you ride with me? Are you kidding? I was hitting like crazy. He said, I was like, hey, what's going on in the morning? You're like, oh, nothing much. I'm like, what time are you coming through? He said, I said, I got to work 4 shift tomorrow. I ain't riding with you. He got mad at me. It's so funny, man, how all of that works. I don't even know why I'm telling you all this story. It tied in somehow. Let's stand up. I forgot. What are you going to do? I remembered. Because I like riding to work by myself. Because, man, when I drive to work by myself, man, I don't listen to music. I hardly ever listen to music. When Tracy and I are together, the only time I listen to music is when she makes me. I just don't. I don't listen to music. And I'll listen to a podcast. I'll listen to preaching. I'll listen to Fox News. I just don't listen to music. But I do sing. I drive down the road by myself. And it sounds atrocious. Sometimes, Robin, I hit notes that make me laugh. I don't know how it works, but once I get to this certain spot, my voice cuts out. It's like, and it just stops. Maybe you can train me how to do that better. But man, I get in there and get in God's presence. There's been times I just pulled off on the side of the road. God, I thank you. I'm not perfect, God, but I'm in your presence. I know you're working on me, but I'm in your presence. Man, when you get in that prayer, whatever you got to do, if it's a song, if it's a prayer, get in his presence. That's the good work. That's the good work, to be conformed, to be shaped and to his son. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for all that you've done for us. God, if there's someone in this room right now, Lord, that has not made the decision to be your disciple, God, would you, through your spirit, would you draw them right now? Would you deal with their heart through your loving kindness? You got a plan. You've got a plan for their life. God, I know you're able to move like nobody else can move. Would you send your presence in a concentrated way into their heart? And would you pull them, Lord, because we know you loved us so much that you gave your son. Not your extra son, your only son. So that we could be made the righteousness of God in you. As they sing this song, if you need to pray, we want to pray with you. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. But above all, let's make a commitment to find time to get into the presence of God. All things, justification, glorification, all of these things work together to get us into the presence of God. Come on in, let's sing.